What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, June 12th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the OK Beast Blessing, Eddie Oye
Jr.
What's up, Greg?
Junior.
Oh, whoa, Bug Snacks. Watching the Bug Snacks theme song take over the world has been something. You know what I mean?
Because it's been great. It's been great to see the love that Bug Snacks has gotten over the last 24 hours.
Because it seems like a nonsense game. Yeah.
Tweeting about it. Yeah,
just a nonsense game. I eat strawberry, now I got strawberry hands. All right, that's a good
the arc that I've had with Bug Snacks over the last, I'm gonna say, what, like 19 hours. Like I went from utter confusion upon first seeing it to now kind of being completely sold on it. Like I really want to play Bug Snacks. Like it looks really fun.
How do you feel waking up the day after the PlayStation 5 event?
I honestly, yesterday was actually really needed. Like I feel like yesterday was a really good day. Like all things considered, but with all the things that we had as far as content, as far as like our Last of Us 2 review, which is live right now. Yeah, like yesterday's event was still incredible in my eyes. Like still like looking back, I tweeted this yesterday, right? Like my four favorite announcements, and then I followed that tweet up with like, actually, I'm going to add four more. And I thought about some more, and I was like, I'm going to add four more, right? Like, I essentially got to a point where I was tweeting about half of the games announced on my Twitter, talking about, like, my favorite things shown. And I think that's a testament to, like, how good yesterday was as far as video game announcements.
I think it was that thing of, you know, you don't know what you got till it's gone. And we haven't had an E3. And so to have that yesterday be an actual E3 day and feel like it, and that excitement and the live shows and, you know, us and, you know, the pandemonium of changing things around super quickly and doing all these different stuff. Like it felt like E3. And like you're saying, we need that. I think we needed that. That was awesome.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's so much to talk about. Number one, Spider-Man Miles Morales is a standalone game. We'll clear up the confusion for you. The Last of Us Part 2 reviews are in, and so much more to dive into today because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can give us your questions, comments, concerns, everything under the video game sun, and of course, you can get the show ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post show we do each and every day. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. Tune in to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Right after this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily, we are doing the Kinda Funny Core Game Jam. We're playing the results. If you don't remember, you can go to coregames.com right now. You can download Core for free, and you can play games with us. Core, of course, allows you to make multiplayer games on the fly, share them with the world. We did a Kinda Funny Game Jam with our friends at Core, both to obviously support the sponsorship and have you guys play the game, but also support our Extra Life. So we're running in there, seeing how many entries we got, seeing how much money we raised for Extra Life, and giving away prizes for the best levels that were made or games that were made. So you just stay tuned here at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. But go to coregames.com if you're watching live. Get it there, download it, and play. Of course, this will be up later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. So plenty of ways to see who wins. Also, very important, the Kinda Funny Games Showcase is back, but it's called the Gorilla Collective. We are teaming with our friends at the Media Indie Exchange, The Mix, to make the Gorilla Collective a three-day event of video game announcements, teasers, release dates, and more. Of course, it kicks off tomorrow, 9 a.m. Pacific time on Twitch. We'll be hosting it, but it'll be up on all over Twitch. It's on IG, and it's everywhere you want to see. Around 90 games to get through this weekend with exclusive reveals, announcements, and debuts. It's going to be awesome. You need to check it out. Blessing already mentioned it. Last of Us Part 2, our review is up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames as a games cast. It's time to start talking about what that means after the fact, though. So next Friday, the game will release, and our plan is to put up our spoiler cast that day as a games cast so that you can have it that weekend when you beat The Last of Us or whenever you get to it. Obviously, this is like, you know, a loaf of bread. It doesn't go bad. Wait, what? You know what I mean?
Hey.
Loaf of bread goes very bad. But it'll be there ready for you. However, what gets more exciting about that is the week after, the week of the 24th, we are going to do another spoiler cast. This one is going to be with the one and only Neil Druckmann. This will be with the one and only Ashley Johnson. This will be with maybe other voice actors if we can confirm schedules. But That means Last of Us Part 2 content is far from over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and, of course, podcast services around the globe. So check out our spoiler-free review of The Last of Us Part 2 right now, wherever you get your podcast or your games cast. Then next week, strap in for spoiler cast. It'll be ready when you're ready. And then after that, a spoiler cast with the people who actually made the game. Get hyped, son. Today, thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed Mohammed, a.k.a. Momo, Connor Nolan, a.k.a. Connor Dowell, and Blackjack. We're brought to you by youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report.
Time for some
news. Number one on the Roper Report. I'm sorry, recall, Kevin. Five items on the Roper Report.
Baker's does it.
Number one on the Roper Report, Miles Morales Spider-Man. The Spider-Man game featuring Miles Morales is, in fact, a full standalone game. If this doesn't shock you, you haven't been paying attention to the news. We're going to start with Andy Robinson at VGC, who's going to explain why this got so crazy. Because their article was that Miles Morales Spider-Man is an expansion, an enhancement to the original. Andy reports, Sony has clarified that Insomniac's PS5 Spider-Man game announced on Thursday is an enhancement of the PS4 original with a substantial expansion. Announced during PlayStation's PS5 reveal event on Thursday, Marvel's Spider-Man, Miles Morales, was described as, quote, a new adventure from Insomniac Games with little further detail added. However, in a new interview, The Telegraph describes Morales as, quote, more akin to an expansion bolted onto an upgraded version of the original title, end quote. Sony Interactive Entertainment's EVP, head of European business, Simon Rutter, told the publication that Miles Morales would include, quote, major enhancements to the 2018 PS4 game. Quote, I guess you could call it an expansion and an enhancement to the previous game, he said. There's a substantial Miles Morales component, which is the expansion element, but also within the game as well, there's been major enhancements to the game and the game engine, obviously deploying some of the major PS5 technology and features, end quote. This broke overnight, I think obviously coming from Europe, bless, and just set every message board in Twitter and the comments from patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, your questions for Games Daily, aflame with like...
I'll be honest, I was infuriated. I was infuriated when I first saw this, because I woke up this morning, this is the first thing I saw, because people were tagging me, and I was like... Like, when I read it, I was like, certainly this is a miscommunication. And then I read 100%. The article and I was like, certainly this is not what it appears to be. Because, like, yeah, from the direct words from Simon Rutter, from Sony, right? Like, he's saying that it's an expansion. He's saying that it's an enhancement on the previous game. He's making it sound like Spider-Man 2018 is coming to PS5 and that's going to have tacked on Miles Morales DLC. And if that was the case, like if that's kind of what the final word was on this, I think that would be a huge disappointment given how they revealed it yesterday. But it doesn't seem like that's the final word.
Right. And that was the thing. I saw, like you're saying, and everybody freaking out. I saw people arguing back and forth about it. And my initial thing was after, 13 years of this, anytime someone who's listed as the EVP head of European business tries to tell you what the game is, fucking pump the brakes. Because sure enough, Insomniac tweeted today, Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales is the next adventure in the Marvel's Spider-Man universe. We will reveal more about this standalone game at a future date. Hashtag Miles Morales PS5. Jason Schreier, of course, from Bloomberg, still doesn't feel right to say, added this on Twitter. News, Spider-Man Miles Morales is not an expansion or enhancement or remaster, despite a Sony executive's comments this morning. A source tells Bloomberg News, nor is it Spider-Man 2. It is a brand new standalone game similar in scope to Uncharted Lost Legacy.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Is like, exactly what I want to hear.
I think that's exactly what we all expected when they announced it yesterday, right? Like it being called Spider-Man Miles Morales, it not necessarily having a 2 in the title, and it also like showing off that trailer that had no Peter Parker, to where if you finished the first game, you'd understand why that feels off in terms of like Peter Parker being nowhere in the game or in that first trailer, he's probably going to be in the game. That doesn't necessarily feel like a Spider-Man 2. Like that feels like some sort of spinoff or some sort of offshoot title, but like not offshoot or spinoff in a bad way, right? Like my brain immediately went to Uncharted Lost Legacy, and I think that's where we all kind of jumped to. If this game comes out and it's like a $40 thing and you get like 10 to 15 hours worth of story and gameplay and like New York, and even if it is the same New York from Spider-Man 2018, that is maybe slightly altered in some ways to yeah. bring it up to speed. Like that's all I really expect, and I think that will be like a really good, satisfying experience.
Yeah, all I want is more hours in this. In the, you know, I went back and watched the trailer again last night, right? Seeing Miles play, you know, far different than what Spider-Man does. Seeing him, swinging in a web. Seeing him swing in a way that is not the exact same web slinging we saw from Pete in Spider-Man, like that's what I'm looking for. I want a thing, and if it's going to be on par with Lost Legacy, beautiful, perfect. That's all I need, yeah. And I understand that, and I think it's a smart way to do it. Of what we're talking about, right? Where Spider-Man 2 was not going to be ready for launch, nor should it be necessarily, yeah. right? And so rather than rush that, put out this experience, something like First Light, something like Lost Legacy, something where we can get in, move, exist back in this world, move the plot forward, figure out what's going off Miles, and then get nutty with whatever Spider-Man 2 is going to be. Because you assume this is going to set up Spider-Man 2.
How different... All right, let me even ask this. How much of an upgrade do you think this is going to be from Spider-Man 2018? Like, do you think New York is going to be that different? Or, like, is the main difference going to be, like, more story and a different, like, different abilities for Spider-Man?
I think the main difference, well, you asked two different questions there. The main difference gameplay, yeah, will be that Miles, I think, will feel distinctly different than Peter did, with his Venom Strike and all that jazz. I think he'll play different, feel different. Obviously, we'll have a new story, and that'll be awesome. I think the other part of it is that this will finally be the chance for PlayStation to flex the muscle they've talked about in every one of these Wired articles, right? Of look at Spider-Man. There's no more load times. You can swing over there in the draw distance, and like it'll be that taking Spider-Man PS4, which is already a beautiful game, putting it onto PlayStation 5, putting ray tracing on all those buildings, putting reflections into all that, putting the surround sound into all that, or the, you know, 3D, whatever the hell sound they're calling it. Yeah. Mark Cerny, looking at your ear. Putting all that into something.
HRCF, whatever.
Putting all that, those bells and whistles onto a game that was already gorgeous, and then releasing that. And then showing you, like, this is the power of your PlayStation. Look at you go. Look at how fast it goes. Look at how beautiful it is. Look at, you know, I think that's the power of it, especially coming off a game we already all know so well, to pop it in and be like, holy shit. Like, there, I don't need to use the subway anymore. It's that fast. There's no loads, all that jazz. I think that's the power of it.
Do you think we at some point get Spider-Man 2018 on PS5 in, like, some sort of new version?
Yes, I could see that easily. You know what I mean? Like, I think this is the, you know, ongoing argument, right, of not even argument, but a discussion of, you know, like, what is PlayStation's answer going to smart delivery going to be? Is it just going to be that they put out PS5 versions of some games? And if so, are you having to rebuy them and yada, yada, yada? I think where this gets dicey and where I think this head of European business might have gotten thrown is that I wouldn't be surprised if there is going to be a definitive edition PlayStation 5. Here is all of Spider-Man. You know what I mean? And it's the PlayStation 4 game. It's all the DLC. It's game of the year. And it's got this Miles content added into it as well. It's a new system. Yeah. It's a new thing. Why not just buy this one thing that gives you everything you want? Then the argument does become, okay, well, hold on a second. I own it on PlayStation 4. Like, do I not get the super enhanced version? Is there nothing? I can play it backwards compatible, of course, but whatever bells, whistles, and other things you're adding to it, do I not get that? And that's back to the argument we're having all the time of this standoff with Xbox being like, smart delivery. You buy it once, you own it everywhere. And PlayStation being like, we're not talking about that yet. Destiny will give it to you for free. Will we? Greg Miller would tell you if I'm PlayStation, no, I would not give you the best-selling PlayStation game of all time. Would I give that to you for free? No, fucking buy it again. 10% of the people who bought it, I'd rather have that. Now, I'm not saying that's the cool move.
For sure. Like, I'm still in such a weird place with smart delivery and PlayStation specifically, and how their side of it is going to work if they have their own version of it. Because I feel like at this point, we're kind of getting kind of late into where that conversation is, right? Like, smart delivery is a thing that Microsoft has kind of talked about for months at this point, right? Like, we're very well acquainted to the idea. And I feel like smart delivery could have been a cool thing to pull out during this last PlayStation 5 game reveal thing. And I kind of understand why they don't, because like that feels like a conversation that comes in line with like features. And
yeah, talking about the UI and all that, nuts and bolts of this.
Yeah, but even still, right? Like, in terms of where we're at with both platforms in that conversation, I feel like not talking about what PlayStation's version of smart delivery or cross-buy or whatever it may be yet is kind of weird, because like more and more, like we're in the place where developers and publishers are revealing PS5 games more and more. They're revealing next gen games more and more. And like we're in the summer of gaming or summer game fest or play for all, whatever you want to categorize it as, right? Like we're in that season, that game reveal season. I feel like by now you'd kind of want that information out there so people can be as transparent as possible and as straightforward and direct as possible when talking about, oh yeah, if you have, let's say, Rainbow Six Siege on PS4, you have it on PS5. The fact that they haven't talked about it yet kind of gives me some worry as far as like it maybe not being there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the $1 million question, is how is this going to shake out? Because yeah, backwards compatibility puts everything there, but it gets so convoluted really quickly, as we've learned many a time on this conversation. It's more about like if you're putting it out as a PlayStation enhanced version of it, like how do you handle the people who already own it? What do you want to do with that? And I think Spider-Man's an interesting one, and having this be standalone is an interesting answer, where it is like, if you want to buy the game of the year, crazy ass PlayStation 5 edition that I don't, you know, is going to look better and have, you know, be optimized for PlayStation 5 more than your backwards compatible PS4 copy, then you can do that. If you just want Miles, you can just buy Miles and be like everybody else. But even then, I feel like there's going to be that whole like, well, what the fuck, man? Like, I'd replay the whole thing if I could for free, but I'm not going to do that. But again, I don't think that you wade into this argument of how PlayStation wants to be viewed and how much business, how business minded do you want to be? Do you want to do the right thing for the consumer, or do you want to do a pro consumer move, or do you want to do the pro business, pro corporate move and do that? And then how much blowback will that really give you? And for at least Sony first parties, how many of these games are we really worried about, right? Like, I don't think this affects God of War. I don't think they're going to do a God of War game of the year PS5 edition. Like, I don't think you're going to see a lot of those kind of games, but I do think the way they've touted Spider-Man, the way they've had obviously Insomniac working on PlayStation 5 tech for Miles Morales, I think there's an interesting argument there to why you would do, hey, it is Spider-Man PS5. Like, it is everything. It's everything we've done for Spider-Man so far, and it runs the best.
That would make sense. Yeah. That'd make a lot of sense to have like a Spider-Man, like let's say 2021, 2022, have a version of Spider-Man that is Spider-Man 2018 with all the enhancements, Spider-Man Miles Morales, all that packaged up. But yeah, like this conversation gets weird and interesting because I'm with you as far as like how we've talked about smart delivery and its importance and what that means as far as like the conversation between PlayStation and Xbox and what their features are, because like backwards compatibility does exist. Backwards compatibility is going to have boosting features for the PS5, right? Sure. Like, and so like, When that's factored in, I know whenever we have this conversation, it snowballs. But when that's factored in, right, like how much does smart delivery truly matter as like a big bullet point? Like, I think it's a cool, like awesome thing, like a very consumer driven thing as far as super like, pro consumer. Yeah, like you let your audience buy something once, they get it on whatever platform it's released for, and it's not confusing. I think that's an awesome thing, but. Yeah, like if PlayStation doesn't have smart delivery, I don't necessarily think it's the end of the world, but I do think it's one of those checkboxes where, like, I think the audience and how that conversation goes will carry that checkbox further than like alone, like zooming out looking at it, it really matters, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I know, you know, people always want to bring up, and they're not wrong, of course, cross-buy has existed on PlayStation forever, right? I buy this one game and I get it on PS3, Vita, and PlayStation 4, depending on what it is. That's where it gets interesting of what will that mean for PlayStation 5? And if they do take a Spider-Man Definitive Edition Game of the Year, yada, 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 put it together with Miles, to them, to the PlayStation Store, that is a different version than the version you own if you own the base Spider-Man and all the DLC. And so, like, what does that mean to them, and how does that go? And these are questions PlayStation needs to answer, but it's also, I don't think, a pressing concern for them, because I don't think it's going to affect as many games as first-party games as you'd really worry about. We already saw with Destiny this week, right, them being like, we support smart delivery, and if you have Destiny on PS4, you're going to get upgraded to PlayStation 5 version. And it's like, okay, so if it's that easy for Destiny, you assume it is that easy for everybody else. Of course, Destiny, again, is a platform. They're not saying here's Destiny 2 Game of the Year edition. And I'm getting into very minutiae of SKUs and how the back end sees things and how transactions are processed. I understand that. But I think for something like that, for something like No Man's Sky, which is not confirmed for any of the things we're talking about, those are just games. Those make sense to me, that you'd be like, all right, cool. You own that, then you get this. It is just a switch we flip, and you know, all we're doing is putting 4K assets into whatever and putting it in there. It's ready to go. But especially when you get into the Spider-Man thing, it's interesting.
especially for stuff that's crossplay. Like that, you imagine that stuff is easier and even more encouraged to have cross-platform or cross-buy in that way. Is Destiny crossplay, or is that just cross progression?
It's cross progression, so I can play on my PlayStation 4, you know, go on Destiny, make sure I've linked my Stadia or whatever, and bring my save mm-hmm. down there, and go vice versa back and forth.
So I wonder if in that case, a PS5 version of Destiny is only the PS5 pool, or if you're bringing in PS4 players into that as well. Like, yeah. I wonder how that goes.
Well, yeah, they're going to focus on what cross generation they said this year, cross play next year. So we'll get there.
Oh, okay. So they've announced cross play.
They've announced they're working on it. That's 2021's gotcha. Vision. 2020 is let's do cross generation so that PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 players can play together. Mm-hmm. Next time around, let's do it so everybody's playing.
Gotcha.
As we sit here and debate all of this PlayStation stuff, let's talk a little bit about the PlayStation 5, right? I have this PlayStation 5 follow-ups, not a full-blown segment here on PS I Love You. Or no, I'm sorry, on Kind of Funny Games Daily. Yesterday was the PS I Love You takeover. What I want to get into is yesterday, of course, we went through Cameron Kennedy's bingo card. In the middle of it, we started making bets and stuff, and we shouted out to one nanobiologist that he needs to sit there and figure it all out, take notes, score us, do all this different stuff.
And be the referee.
He said very begrudgingly in the chat, okay. So here are the results. Are you ready for the results, Blessing?
First of all, before you even get into it, I just want to say I've already looked ahead at some of these. Some of these are bullshit.
A lot of these are bullshit.
Yeah.
A lot of this is bullshit. But again, we said Nano do it. Nano did it. We can't argue. We picked the judge and that's how it is. All right.
All right.
Nanobiologist writes in and says, hi, Greg. You asked me to keep score of your responses to the bingo sheet yesterday. Well, y'all suck and had the same responses to many questions or went too into the weeds. And I just boiled it down to most into if you agreed or disagree. Next time, make it more fun by giving different answers. First off, next time, break your dick off, nanobiologist. All right, we're here. We're trying to win. We're trying to make smart predictions. I'm not on some fucking game show on Nickelodeon. I'm here on the number one gaming daily podcast telling you, hey, here's what I think is going to happen, all right? You shut the fuck up. So here we go. We're going to go. Some of them are super short. Some of them have way more explanation here. If Horizon is being shown, it's not a full sequel. Blessing said Horizon Zero Dawn 2 would be announced for 2021 with a prologue at PS5 launch like Ground Zeroes. Greg said Horizon Zero Dawn 2 is announced and a launch title. The ref says, we don't know the release date yet. So no points. Blessing Zero, Greg Zero. Dream, fair. Art's Dream for what you got something to say there? Are you fair with that one?
No, I just said fair. Yeah.
Okay. We said about Art's Dream being free on PlayStation 5. Greg said it won't happen. If it does, it'll be free later. Blessing said won't be announced today, but will be announced when the PlayStation 5 price and box are revealed. Nano's note, I can't really judge you for this one. Both of you said it wouldn't happen. It didn't happen, so you both get a point. Greg won, Blessing won. New Ratchet and Clank. Blessing, yes. Greg, can see, is what I said. Nano said, Bless said yes, which is way more definitive than Greg's can see it happening. So I'm giving Bless the point. Bless two, Greg one. Take note, Greg. Got to be more confident in your answers. This is a screw job. This is a Montreal screw job. This sounds right to me.
I agree. I was way more confident in Ratchet and Clank.
This one is like, you want to talk about like the most garbage fucking referee job here. Here comes the next one. Infamous game for PlayStation 5. Blessing says no. Greg says no. Will be new Uncharted, which is not what I said. I said no. If it was going to happen, it would be an Uncharted. Nano's note. Bless gets the point here since there was no Uncharted game shown. Parentheses. Nice try trying to win those technical half points, but that ain't happening with me. Blessing.
Good
three,
job, Nano.
Greg won.
I take it all back. Nano's great. I take it all back. Maybe there's not bullshit in here.
No sign of Spider-Man or God of War sequels. Blessing says no God of War, but Spider-Man is teased. Greg says no God of War, and it's too early to tease Spider-Man. Nano says Bless gets the point here. Plain and simple, Spider-Man, Miles Morales was shown, and I'm treating it like Lost Legacy since it's an expansion. Bless 4, Greg 1. Destiny trailer. Right. Bless doesn't expect it, but it'll be cool. Greg didn't provide an answer. You just said yeah to what Blessing was saying while not declaring if you agreed or not. Yeah? Isn't an agreement to you, nanobiologist? Yeah? Is not the affirming that yes, you were saying exactly. Why would they show the Destiny? No, Blessing gets the point. Blessing 5, Greg 1. No box shown. No PlayStation 5 shown. Blessing says no box. He agrees. Greg says, we will see the box. Nano's note, the box was shown. Greg gets the point. Also, it's growing on me. Yeah, it's a good-looking box. Blessing 5, Greg 2. No less than 3 dogs, not 1 cat, excluding big cats. Blessing agreed. Greg disagreed.
Nano's note, only cats are shown. As a dog person, I'm offended, PlayStation. Greg gets the point. Blessing 5, Greg 3. All right.
Did you really disagree with that one?
That's what the ref says, and I'm going to fucking take the point. I don't remember what I said.
I don't recall you agreeing, but all right.
No PlayStation now. We both agreed. We both get points. Blessing 6, Greg 4. PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale 2. We both disagreed. It wasn't shown. We both get the point. Blessing 7, Greg 5. Opens with a demo reel, sizzle reel second. Blessing agreed. I disagreed and said sizzle reel first. Nano says, man, it would have been hype to get a game first, but we got that cool PlayStation Through the Ages sizzle reel. So Greg gets the point. Blessing 7, Greg 6. I'm back, baby. I'm in it. Crash is back. We both agreed. Nano says, lol, no points. Hashtag slaves, save Sly. Blessing 7, Greg 6. No GTA 6. We both agreed. We both agreed there'd be no GTA 6. He says, we almost did, but Rockstar faked us out. No points. 7-6. Shouldn't we both get the points for that?
Yeah, we should both get
this. The referee's crooked. He is crooked. But he wrote, Blessing 7, Greg 6. Siphon Filter. We both said no. We were both right. We each get a point. 8-7. Blessing in the lead. Red Dead Red 2 enhanced for PlayStation 5. GTA is not. We both disagreed. Nana says, you both said neither would happen, but Rockstar said, fuck you, Greg and Blessing, and we're upgrading GTA 5. No points. Blessing 8. Now, Greg 7.
I'm just going to say, I've been beating the drum that GTA 5 is going to get was going to get remastered or a re-release on PS5, but I do think I said that it wasn't going to be shown yesterday. Well,
seems like the ref is correct on that one. All
which
right.
I'm blaming you. I feel like you influenced me here.
Oh, hey, you know what? That's the thing. Maybe you should be more affirmative. You know what I mean? Not just roll over Portillo on a sunny day. Half-Life Alyx for PlayStation 5, no release window. Blessing agreed because he's crazy. Greg disagreed. Nano says, no Half-Life Alyx, no point for Blessing. It is now tied 8-all, everybody. Final Fantasy 16. We both disagreed. He says, of course, yeah, no Final Fantasy. You both get a point. 9-9. New Dragon Age is teased. Blessing agreed. I disagreed. That gets me the point. It's now 8. It's Blessing 8, Greg 9. I'm in the lead. No price. We both agreed. 9-10. I'm in the lead. No Last of Us 2 or Ghost of Tsushima. Blessing agreed. Greg said, counting the sizzle reel.
Bullshit.
Both appeared during the sizzle reel. Blessing, I'm sorry, but Greg gets the point.
This is the bull I'm talking about. Because when we first brought this up, I said, yeah, I don't expect to see The Last of Us 2 or Ghost of Tsushima, to which you said, oh, yeah, I could see it like in a sizzle reel. And I said, oh, if we're talking about sizzle reels, yes, I can see it. Nanobiologist, take
you, slip. But you locked up in your answer beforehand. All right, you locked in your answer. I'm sorry. I have to take the point. I agree this ref is crooked and we shouldn't trust him, but he gave me the point. I got to go.
Bullshit. It should be tied.
Batman or Harry Potter game. Blessing agreed. Greg says just a Batman logo. I'm pretty sure I said no, but if anything happened, there might be but I digress. We got nothing. No zips, no zip zoops, no whooshes, no quick Twitter teases, nothing. Blessing gets the point. Blessing 10, Greg 11. Resident Evil 8, we both agreed it happens. 11-12, Greg is still in the lead. DualSense is said by 5+ different voices.
Damn, this one screwed me.
Blessing agrees, Greg disagrees. It was said once, maybe twice, so Greg gets the point. Blessing 11, Greg 13. COVID-19 is mentioned only once and not by name. We both agreed. They didn't even do this, so no points. Blessing still at 11. Greg still at 13. Avengers game footage. Blessing disagreed. Nano says Greg agreed. I think I did not. I think I was explaining to you that it is cross-platform, but I didn't think it would happen. He says, while Spider-Man is an Avenger, we didn't get Avengers footage, so Blessing gets the point. The final tally, Blessing 12, Greg 13.
Damn.
Then
close.
As an antibiologist starts to raise my hand to declare me the victor, he tosses in this fucking garbage. There were some wild predictions in the end provided by Blessing. I am a huge fan of extra credit. There was Blue Point's Demon Souls game and Gran Turismo, both predicted by Blessing. So Blessing gets 2 extra points, bringing the final score to 14-13.
Oh,
Blessing
man. Win. Oh, look at that.
Fuck off. Victory. We were going off the bingo thing. There was no reason for extra credit. There was no announcement of extra credit.
You fucking loser.
Listen, I don't make the rules. Nanobiologist is a judge. And listen, he's not fair, but, you know, like, I'll take it. He is the judge. He's what we got. It's not what we deserve, but he's who we got. So
I'm Stone Cold and you're the corporate version of The Rock. And then he's Vince McMahon, a special guest referee. And no matter what, I'm not going to be able to get out of this.
Pretty much, yeah.
Garbage. Hot and garbage.
Thank you, Nanobiologist. I love
it's
it.
It's upsetting. You know?
Is it?
Yeah, I like to win things. You know, you know this about me. Trending
game
of the
year. You wouldn't be able to tell from your record.
We're Kevin on this one.
Dapper Steve with a PH has a PlayStation 5 question. Hello there, Greg and Blessing. Simple question regarding the blue light on that beautiful PlayStation 5 console. Do you think it will change colors just like the light on the controllers do? For example, red when you're low on health, yellow to indicate enemies are nearby. Also, would you ever want to change the colors outside of what the PlayStation 4 already... Oh, I'm sorry. Would you even want it to change colors outside of what the PlayStation 4 already does? PlayStation is all about giving immersion, and I feel like that would be a nice additive if the light changes per situation. But I can also see people finding it distracting.
Yeah, I think that'd be super annoying. Like, we're talking about the light that's on the console, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be super annoying. I think that will just be like the like on and rest mode colors. Like, I imagine that blue will probably turn to orange. And like, I don't think it's going to go further than that, because like the idea of like playing GTA 5, the PS5 version, and being chased by the cops and those lights flashing, that sounds like a nightmare.
It's interesting because that's the thing about the DualShock, right? Where, you know, the original version of the DualShock 4 obviously had the light bar in the front, so you rarely used it. And then they cut the light on top of it so you could actually see it a bit more in terms of it actually working. And then now with the DualSense, right, the light being able to come out kind of like, you know, out of the cave and I think illuminate more. For me, that's such a novelty of like, I even playing Last of Us Part 2 for review, like, I think it changes based on my health bar, but I honestly cannot remember
one color change.
Because how do I look at my, when do I ever look at my controller when playing a game? And like, even when the room is dark, it's the light coming off the TV more than that. Like, I think the controller lights are still going to be obviously used for VR. I think they're going to change, obviously, for player, which color, what number player you are, and changing color that way.
Yeah.
But like, it's such a weird thing that I definitely don't see the console light bar changing like as you're playing, because I think that'd be super distracting and weird, and most people have an entertainment centers. I would be interested if you could change it on your own, like a fucking mood light or whatever, but I also doubt that, because I think the whole, as you look at this futuristic white, black, and blue console, PlayStation clearly has an aesthetic they're going for with it, and I don't think they're going to let you get in there.
Yeah, and like to the point of like the multiplayer game thing, right? Like, I was trying to flip through the games in my mind that I could remember using the light bar, and like, I like GTA 5 is the first one, but then FIFA came to mind, right? Where you have like the player indicators and they're different colors, and like those colors coordinate with your controller color. Like, those are cool uses of the light bar and of those colors, but that's not a thing you can do with the console, right? Like, if you're playing multiplayer, like, you can't have that light reflect the like player number 1 and 2 at the same time.
Sure, of course.
And so, like, I wouldn't necessarily even want it to have that functionality. I do think it would be cool if you could change it yourself to have like that mood lighting. But to what you said, right? Like, I don't think that's what PlayStation has in mind with this thing. Like, I very much look at the color in the PS5 console as the exact same as like the colors in the PS4. Where you turn it on, it turns blue.
I hope it doesn't do the orange. I hope they get rid of the orange. I always felt like that's the one that doesn't belong. Like, I don't think of the white and the blue. I'm like, that makes perfect sense for the system. And then it glows orange. And I'm just like, I don't know.
What would be your rest mode color then? Because, like, I don't know how I feel about the orange with the white. That's, like, my main thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know what other color it'd be for rest mode. Because, like, I orange works as, like, something that's, like, warm, I guess. Something that's,
I feel like the blue they use is a royal blue, right? If you could go more cyan for it, but then I guess it's going to be really hard to differentiate between white and blue. See, I like to bitch about things, Bless, but I don't have the answers.
That's fair. PS3 was red for the rest mode.
Red was red off, like, and then yellow was on. White. It was. I'm thinking of the
green and blue, right?
I'm thinking of the slim, and it.
I'm thinking of like that big old thing.
You're talking about the original.
The original, yeah, because that's what I had.
Yeah.
Oh wait, no, I got the yellow light of death, which meant that it was dying, so it definitely wasn't yellow. And so I think it was red for rest mode.
It was red when there was power to it, but it was on.
Right? Yeah. But then there was like blue, I think, for like it was on.
No.
And then PS2 had red.
No. Blue, there was no blue on the... Well, fuck it. You're talking about a different PS... I'm very much envisioning my slim back there.
Was there not like a green color too? Or am I thinking of the PS2?
there was, you're thinking about your PS3, your fat PS3, right?
Yeah, my fat PS3.
Fuck, I haven't fucking turned one of those on in like literally a decade.
I'm trying to find pictures of a fat PS3.
You go, do that. I'm gonna lead us into the next thing. You find the photos over here. So yeah, and all, ladies and gentlemen, of course, we're summarizing everything that happened at the PlayStation 5 event. If you missed it, of course, you can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, watch our entire reaction alongside it. Thank you so many of you gone and watched that. It's amazing. And then of course there's an episode of PS I Love You XOXO that is the post show to that live reaction, where for an hour we run over everything that was going on, what we saw, what we liked, what we didn't. We're getting a lot of breaking news in there, talking about like what has been confirmed as time to console exclusive, what hasn't been, what are release dates and things like that. But yeah, waking up this morning and existing in a world, for me, I don't know about you, Bless, for me waking up, obviously it was all about Miles Morales Spider-Man, and it was all about the console itself. Like, I think there's a lot of great stuff in there. I can't get the Bugsnax song out of my head and shit like that, but those are the things that stand out to me in terms of like the two big things for me.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, like Spider-Man for sure. One thing I realized is that I feel like we all kind of collectively forgot that Horizon was announced yesterday, Horizon 2, which I still can't remember the full name. Horizon something West? Horizon New West? No, Horizon...
Far West.
Forbidden West.
Forbidden West.
Yes, Horizon Forbidden West. Like, that's a game that I've not necessarily seen people talk about. And I think that might just be because, like, the trailer we got was more of a cinematic trailer, and, like, sure, the new information we got was basically just setting... and like some new creatures, but like there's not necessarily much to dive into.
The other problem with it too is like the other problem for why I don't think you see more people talking about Horizon Forbidden West is twofold. Number one, this was like the most slam dunk that's going to happen. We had, even if like the argument I think really in the debate was, will it be a launch game? I don't think anybody was debating, will it be there? Are you going to see that? Is that is that going to be one of the PlayStation 5 crown jewel is at this announcement? So I think when you have a property like that that you already know is going to be there, it's already going to be that big deal, it's harder to have that catch you off guard, especially when it pops up and it is like, oh, this, it looks great. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's not beautiful, but it's like, oh, cool, it looks like Horizon. It's Aloy running around doing stuff. Awesome. I think if it would have done, like, debuted, like the rumors have been that it was that co-op experience and stuff like that, and they showed that, that would have gotten more juice to it. But I think it's, number one, the fact that it's predictable and we knew it was coming, and then number two, it was so close to the actual reveal of the console. I think by the time, like, you figure, like, starting with Miles, right? And first off, starting with Miles and having that be out of the fucking blue, that had so much time to get crazy and us to get hyping and be all about it. And then Horizon, by the time we saw it, it was like, that was great, that was great. And then it was like, all right, here's the console itself. And the console doesn't look like anything you expected.
Yeah. No, I can definitely see that. Bugsnax is one I also keep thinking about for some reason. Like, that's the game that I keep returning to. But I also, like, fucking Kenna. That's another game that I'm hella excited about. Like, legit, like, I'm not joking when I say that, like, over half of the games I'm very excited about. And I think that rarely happens with a conference. And so, shout out
to it. We'll see. Yeah. Did you find out anything about your colors you were worried about there?
Man, I'm finding so much. Like, apparently there were a lot of colors on the PS3 as far as, like, the lights go.
There were the two lights on it. I remember that.
Yeah, there are two different lights on the launch one. And I'm not necessarily finding concrete info about the launch one specifically, but like I'm seeing here, I'm just looking at like a tech guide for the PS3, and there's a solid red light, which is the power light, which tells you that the PS3 system is off or in standby mode. There's a solid green light, which means your console is switched on and working normally. There's a flashing red light, which I guess that's like an overheating thing. It's flashing green. There's flashing green / yellow / red. There's solid blue, which is a disc light.
Now here, I want to shout out in the chat, Erroneous tosses us this thing here, right? And I think it might even be what you're looking at. But it's worth pointing out that, again, this is for the slim model. It's using a slim up there, not using the big boy. When you're specifically talking about what the big boy was like.
Yeah, and I'm also looking at one that's for the slim. I cannot find one that's for the big man.
Nobody cares. The big boy was replaced. Big deal. Rest in peace. Number two on the Roper Report. Jesus. The Last of Us 2 reviews have dropped. We have the roundup for you right now. I should say right now. At 9:26 a.m. Pacific time, The Last of Us Part 2 was sitting with a fat 96 on Metacritic. Some reviews to pull from. CanIPlayThat.com gave it a 10. I think Herman Hulse pulled this one up on Twitter, and that's where I saw it. But I think it's one of the most interesting ones, right? Because this isn't even about gameplay as much as it's about all the accessibility options. Courtney Craven wrote, "I've only skimmed the surface of the vastness of customization provided for disabled players here, and it's a testament to what Naughty Dog has done with this game. Not only have they joined the ranks of Ubisoft and the Coalition in leading the industry and advancing the inclusion of disabled gamers in their design process, but they have set a new standard for all games to strive for. They've given the world a game that truly anyone can simply pick up and play and not run into barrier after barrier. And that is an amazing feeling, as barriers often leave me abandoning most games. And they did it all without, gasp, compromising their artistic vision." I thought that was an interesting one to start on. I think obviously at a 96, you can expect the reviews to be pretty goddamn glowing. But to have it from the accessibility options that they talked about earlier this week, right? Or maybe even mid last week. To see those really take hold and have people from CanIPlayThat.com and Steve Saylor, the blind gamer, come out and be like, I think Steve Saylor said specifically, like, this is the moment of like accessibility options before Last of Us Part Two and after, in terms of like, this is how you do it and this is how you make your game inclusive so anyone can play it. Yeah. So hats off to Naughty Dog for that, of course.
I think I mentioned this during the review that posted at midnight, but like going into the game and first starting it and seeing the accessibility menu pop up and going in there and seeing all the different options that were available and actually like tweaking some of them to work specifically for me. And like somebody who like doesn't have any difficulty playing video games regularly, like being able to do things as simple as just messing around with subtitles, like that stuff felt very eye-opening into saying like, oh, you can do this and you can make it work, right? Like as simple as what we get in a lot of modern games, which is like the brightness thing, where it's like turn your game up all the way to where you can see like the darks of the dark and the lights of the light, right? Like in a similar way to where so many games implement that, like you can implement accessibility options in ways that don't affect how you play the game or don't affect the artistic vision or whatever. Like I think that was a really cool thing when I jumped into the game.
Yeah, and it's been interesting to use them. I've a lot about how subtitles in our review, the subtitles are, you know, so well done there. Last night, you know, I was going through, I'm grinding on the platinum trophy, and so I'm going after a lot of collectibles, and colorblind mode highlights, it grays out the entire thing, makes you blue, then makes enemies red, and then makes things you can interact with gold. And so I was using that last night of like, there's a collectible, a trading card somewhere in this place. Where is it? Right. And I switched that on to kind of have like x-ray vision on, like, cause this is like my third time or fourth time in many of these instances through these levels. Like it was easy. It was helpful to have that. So even there's benefits, even if you have, you know, if you have no disability and you just want to see what it would be like.
Yeah.
Again, worth pointing out that our review is up youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and as a Gamescast podcast, it's me, Tim Blessing and Christine Steimer from What's Good Games. And we are all, universally, that this game's a masterpiece, right, Bless?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think I use the word masterpiece, but like, I think I'm definitely there with you guys as far as like how excellent it is. Like, I'm still in the place where I'm personally kind of processing like how I feel about the end product and how like where I'm at in terms of it being a masterpiece or not. Like, it's actually been such an interesting thing, like reading through people's reviews and reading through other people's impressions, because I think the game for me is a lot to take in. And so like, I think the thing that I very much acknowledge is that I think there's so much about the game that is masterpiece quality. Like the game, I think the gameplay or like the combat specifically, I think is masterpiece quality. I think the story is masterpiece quality in terms of like how well they tell a story. I think the like graphically it's masterpiece quality and all these things, but I'm still like, it's one of those things where the game does so much and the game is so, the game tries to be bigger than itself in a lot of ways. Not necessarily that like it can't handle the weight of what it's doing, but it tries to go further and push boundaries in ways that for me, I'm still trying to grapple with. I'm still trying to like interpret for myself. And so like, I'm with you guys as far as like it being like a masterpiece quality thing, but I don't know if I'm there yet as far as like it being like a masterpiece for me, if that makes sense.
No, 100%. No, I think, you know, my example always of that is Red Dead, right? Or Red Dead 2, where I would be like, this game is not for me. I'd enjoy it, but I can't sit here and not tell you it's a work of art. I can totally understand what other people are pulling from it. It's just not my kind of thing. Speaking of my kind of thing, Greg Way, let's see how everybody else reviewed it. IGN gave it a 10. Podcast Beyond host Jonathan Dornbush said, "The Last of Us Part 2 is a masterpiece worthy of its predecessor. Taking strides forward in nearly every way, Ellie steps into the spotlight and carries the sequel in a manner that feels like the culmination of everything that's made Naughty Dog's blockbuster storytelling so memorable since the original Uncharted on the PlayStation 3. It delivers a layered, emotionally shattering story on top of stealth and action gameplay that improves the first game's mechanics while integrating a bit more of Uncharted's greater mobility and action. But while Part 2 is a thrilling adventure, it still makes time for a stunning, nuanced exploration of the strength and fragility of the human spirit. The PlayStation 4 has one of its best exclusives in one of the generation's best games. I think in something I saw it earlier today, so I'm kind of talking out my ass, but I believe it's something like more than 40 10 out of 10s right now for this one. GameSpot gave it an 8 over there. Callie said, by the time I finished The Last of Us Part 2, I wasn't sure if I liked it. It's a hard game to stomach, in part because so much of who Ellie is and what she does is beyond your control. She is deeply complicated and flawed, and her selfishness hurts a lot of people. At times, the pain you inflict feels so senseless that it can leave you numb. It's all messy and bleak and made me profoundly sad for a myriad of reasons. But the more I reflect on it, the more I appreciate the story and characters at its core. I wanted almost none of it to happen the way it did, and that's why it's both beautiful and and that's what's both beautiful and devastating about it. Meanwhile, I like this. It's a longer one, but it's from Polygon's review. Of course, Polygon does give scores. Maddie Myers wrote the following to close out her review. Playing The Last of Us Part 2, a game that supposes that humans will enact violence upon one another to their dying breaths, is a very strange thing in 2020. Naughty Dog created a world in which people across America react to a massive structural crisis by dividing and disconnecting from others, rather than uniting together to demand something better. Not just for themselves, but for the most marginalized people in their communities. I see a widespread level of selflessness and an intense care for the preservation of human life in the real 2020. In fact, an increasingly loud demand for a society that meets that need. Our systems have failed, in large part, but individual people remain strong and kind. Things have rarely been worse, but there is hope to be found in the actions of average folks fighting to do the right thing. We don't need a video game to rub our noses in hatred and violence to know that other people who are just trying to survive aren't the real enemy. The Last of Us Part 2 depicts individual people who are instead ruthless, capable, yet self-absorbed, and whose perception of violence is limited to how it affects them and their chosen family members. They are almost unbelievably unable to see the bigger picture. Part 2 ends up feeling needlessly bleak at a time when a nihilistic worldview has perhaps never been less attractive. Its characters are surviving, but they're not learning, and they are certainly not making anything better. Maybe the most surprising thing that The Last of Us Part 2 offered me was a surety that while the game was made with great skill and craft, we are actually much, much better than Naughty Dog thinks we are.
I read this one this morning, and like it was an interesting one to kind of take in, because like I don't necessarily know if I agree with the totality of it, but I kind of understand where they're coming from, like sure. as far as like how they interpreted the game, and it's one of those things where, you know, upon reading this one from Polygon and upon reading Callie's review and reading like a bunch of different reviews, right? Sure. Like that's one of the things that I really appreciate and enjoy about the game is the fact that like we're able to have all these different interpretations of it and have all these different conversations of it and come out of it with these different feelings and things. Like it reminds me a lot of Death Stranding. And like less polarizing than Death Stranding, but in a similar way to where Death Stranding had reviews that were all over the place because I feel like everybody kind of got something different from that game. I think Last of Us Part 2 does a lot of similar things, but in different ways, right? Where Death Stranding, like I feel like for all of us, right? We play Death Stranding and we make that decision of like, all right, this gameplay is fun and it's for me, or all right, this gameplay is dumb and it's not for me, or like the story's ridiculous, or like the story is quirky but I like it, and like we have all these different things that we take from it, and a lot of us are able to make that decision with Death Stranding pretty quickly as far as is it for us or is it not for us. Where Last of Us Part 2, I think like legit it was probably like 75% into the game where I was like, all right, I really do like this, but like it took me getting through that journey to get to that point of kind of being like, all right, yeah, like this is good to me. But even still, like after beating it, like I'm still in that place of grappling how I feel about it.
And honestly, that's why I was so excited for the review embargo to lift. And I was so excited last night. I stayed in our comments for the first hour, but I was listening to Dornbush's video review and Callie's and going around and reading different things as I could. Like what I say in ours is I mean, obviously how I feel about it, right? But if you've missed it, like, the idea for me personally is that this is so much more than a video game. And I think it exists in the space that's somewhere between being a game, being a movie, and being a great book. And what I mean by that is that I think it is doing things on another level, both in terms of gameplay and the things you think about games, but in terms of characters and story and motivations and symbolism that I don't see done in games. And I definitely don't see done in this large of a picture for games. Usually, I mean, there'll be symbolism obviously in games and stuff like that, but I think they're usually shorter than it is here. And so the conversations I've had with everyone about this game, whether it's, you know, Jen, who watched most of it with me and we'd, you know, talk on car rides about it, whether it's Steimer, who was keeping a journal and was texting me like, what about this, what about that, and I think this means that, and there's a lot of that. Whether it's you and Tim just talking about the violence and the action and the emotions it elicits, like, in the same way I talked about Red Dead Redemption 2, it's the same way, even though I like this one, is that this is, I think, a work of art. And that means something far beyond review scores. I think that means something far beyond game of the year and a soundtrack and stuff like that. I think that this is a think piece. This is a game you're going to, an experience you're going to have and take something different out of it. In the same way, you know, I always talk about beating Last of Us Part 1. I left and I was like, man, Joel's the bad guy. And I was like, wait, no, he isn't. That's this game from start to finish, of you sitting there and have you see people's choices, motivations, conversations, and you're like, but why? Oh my God, I would have blah, blah, blah. And like, it's to what everybody is saying in the same line, right? Of doing things you don't necessarily want to do. And sure, that means murdering somebody or killing somebody who's trying to kill you or fighting a clicker, but it also means seeing people just make the decisions you don't want them to make. And I think that's what's powerful about it, is like Ellie's character arc and like the other character arcs in the game are very much like the same but on different journeys, and that applies to so many different people in there that you can see, yeah, oh, they thought it this way, but that's not really what it is. And what, and I'm with Callie when I read her thing of like playing that game, like, oh, don't you see, learn from the mistakes, that's not how it's supposed to, you know, and like, mm-hmm, you can't say that to Ellie.
Yeah,
you can't have her make that decision, and that is, it takes away your agency. And I think that's usually what games give us, is the ability to make our own choices. And so since we're just playing Neil's story at that point, I understand, obviously Naughty Dog's story, but yeah, playing a story, that's how it's got to be.
Yeah, I think that's what makes this game so interesting, right? Is because, like, as a video game, for so many of us, like, the reason we play video games is to have our own choice and is to, like, be a participant in the story. Whereas, yeah, like, but, like, not every video game wants to do that, right? Like, Naughty Dog games, for the most part, are, and not even for the most part, pretty much all Naughty Dog games, as far as I remember and understand, right, are games that are putting you into the shoes of the character. Like, there are stories, sure, that the writers want to tell, and the writers want you to experience. And
yeah, so, but like, I think, you know, the ones before the end of Last of Us, right? Because even playing through Last of Us, mm-hmm, we talked about this in the spoiler cast, Last of Us 1, right? It was that thing of like, in the beginning, you know, Tess is like, we're not good people. Like, we've, you know, and Joel, when you get caught by the not pirates, the hunters, and she's like, how did you know that was going to be an ambush? And he's like, I've been on both sides of it. Like, they tell you Joel's not a good person. But for, yeah, me personally, it never really resonated until he got to like, I'll pop your fucking kneecap off. Tell me where she is. Oh, my God. He's not lying. Oh, I believe him. Bam. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, yeah, fuck, right. Like, this is a different thing. Whereas, yeah, this is on such a different level.
But yeah, like, and that's, I mentioned during the review that like The Last of Us Part 2 feels like more of an analysis on like hate and revenge rather than like an indulgence in it. And I think to that point, right, like, I stick with that. Yeah. And I think the, yeah, game, as far as like it being a sequel to Last of Us Part 1, and it being a justified sequel and it referencing back Last of Us Part 1 and feeling like it piggybacks off of Last of Us Part 1, like, I think it does all that stuff extraordinarily well. And it, as an analysis on hate and revenge, right, like, I think, like, it does that and it dives into it. And I think for me, as somebody who's played through the game and like is now like kind of wrestling with how I feel about it, even though like for, yeah, the most part I'm like, it's excellent, like, it's one of those things where I think the place I'm at now with the game is, how do I feel about the analysis? Like, do I agree with the analysis that they have? Do I agree with the end result? Do I, like, do I line up with how Neil and Naughty Dog feels about, like, where they went with this story? Which I think is honestly, like, a great place to be if, yeah, from a storytelling perspective and, like, a game-creating perspective, right? Like, you know, I think to have people in that place to where now they have to fucking break this thing down in a way where they end up in a place where they feel uncomfortable with it and don't like, you know, where it's gone, but can still like compliment the gameplay or still compliment like, oh yeah, this is still like an achievement in so many places. Like, I think that's such a cool place to be able to tell that kind of story.
Totally. Yeah, 100%. Like I said, a lot more Last of Us Part 2 content already up. You can go get the Gamescast review spoiler-free, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Please subscribe. And remember, of course, yeah, a full-blown spoiler cast next week. And the week after that, Neil Druckmann, Ashley, maybe more familiar faces coming by to talk about their experience with the game. But for now, number three on the Roper Report. Star Wars Maverick is apparently Star Wars Squadrons. This is Jeff Grubb, or as I call him, Jeffy Grubb over at GamesBeat. Electronic Arts has a new Star Wars game coming called Star Wars Squadrons. The publisher is going to start teasing the new release from its EA Motive studio soon. But a leak on the Xbox website is spilling the details faster than a group of Bothan spies. That's a Star Wars reference, if you didn't know, blessing. I know usually you're watching Goku and whatever else cartoons you kids think are
entertaining. Oh, love Goku.
This is the rumored Star Wars Project Maverick that was first leaked onto the PlayStation Network back in March. EA will likely have much more to say about this during its upcoming EA Play event on June 18th. According to sources familiar with the game's production, Star Wars Squadrons is an aerial/space combat game about piloting ships in head-to-head battles. It features a single-player campaign, but the main focus of Squadrons is on the multiplayer. The idea is to get players fighting against each other in team battles featuring iconic Star Wars vessels. EA plans to release the game for PC and consoles this fall. Motive previously worked on Star Wars Battlefront 2. It was the studio responsible for the single-player campaign. It also assisted BioWare on Anthem. Now Motive is stepping out as lead developer on Star Wars Squadrons. It's worth noting that the game is the direct result of EA wanting to release a new Star Wars game relatively quickly. Executives deemed other Star Wars projects too ambitious or requiring too many years of development, so set your expectations accordingly.
Oh, man. That last...
Does this do anything? Yeah, right.
I mean, as far as does it do anything for me, I'm interested, but especially given that last part, like I'm very cautiously optimistic. Like, I think the idea for the game sounds cool, right? Like it being a multiplayer game that is space combat. Like, I think that's what so many people want from Star Wars. I might even prefer more so like a single player, like Rogue Squadron kind of game, but I'll still take this. This still sounds awesome. It's crazy that this is leaked by both the PlayStation and the Microsoft.
PlayStation and Xbox doing like the Predator handshake.
Yeah. Like leaking. Could you imagine being EA Motive and being like, yo guys, what the fuck, man? Like, why is it us? Like, why is it only us that is getting this treatment from both of you guys? And so like that's hilarious. But overall, like, cool idea. We'll see how it pans out.
It's that, don't get me wrong, reading through it or whatever, like, you know, how I'm after Fallen Order, right, and going to Disney and stuff, I've never been a bigger Star Wars fan or whatever. I grew up with my best friend Poe, so, you know, so many kind of funny fans know him. Poe was obsessed with the PC flight sims, TIE Fighter and all that jazz. So I would come over and help him install them and then watch him play those. If it's something like that, like, I don't mind it being a smaller game. If it's that, you know, I mean, that's what they're driving at. If the idea is that play through single player campaign, it's short, it gets you going, and then you get into multiplayer and you're just flying around TIE fighting. I don't think necessarily doing something smaller scale is a bad idea if it looks good and plays good. Obviously Motive, you know, a friend of the show, Mitch Dyer, works up there. I'm sure he's writing on this then. Like, let's see what's it all about,
Yeah, I'm totally down for it.
Good. Guess what? Jeffrey Grubb is back with the NPD for May 2020. This is from GamesBeat again. May 2020 did not have any breakout new releases, but U.S. video game fans opened up their wallets regardless. According to industry tracking firm the NPD Group, spending hit $977 million for hardware, full game sales, and accessories. Perennial favorites like Call of Duty Modern Warfare and Grand Theft Auto 5 led the surge. Quote, May 2020 tracked spending across video game hardware, software, accessories, and game cards totaled $977 million, 52% higher when compared to a year ago, NPD analyst Matt Piscitella said. This is the highest track spend for a May month since the $1.2 billion achieved in May 2008. Hardware spending grew 56% in May 2020 when compared to a year ago. Now hardware spending is up to $235 million, said Matt again. This is the highest total in May in a month since the $239 million total achieved in May 2010.
Oh, wow.
Your charts games here go like this. This is sort of by dollar sales, not numbers of units sold. Number one, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Number two, Grand Theft Auto 5. GamesBeat's own Dean Takahashi had an article up basically pointed to this and going like,
this is why Sony made this deal and like why they opened their press conference with Grand Theft Auto 5, right? And if you missed that, of course, they did that announcing there'd be the new GTA. And then Eddie at GameSpot says, announced as part of the PlayStation 5 reveal event, Rockstar Games confirmed that all PlayStation Plus members on PS4 will get $1 million GTA buck dollars, whatever. Every month they play GTA Online until GTA Online releases in the PlayStation 5. This money will be deposited into your Maze bank account within 72 hours after you log in each time. That's not all, as the standalone version of GTA Online launching in 2021 will be free for PlayStation 5 owners during the first 3 months of its release. It's not completely free, however, as it does require a PlayStation Plus membership. But as you see right here with Grand Theft Auto 5, once again being number two on NPD sales for when now going into its third console generation, it's That's like going to be a pretty big deal that every PlayStation 5 owner gets it for free when they launch it. Anyways, I digress. Back to this. Number three, Animal Crossing New Horizons. Number four, NBA 2K20. Number five, Mortal Kombat 11. Number six, Red Dead Redemption 2. Number seven, Minecraft. Number eight, Final Fantasy 7 Remake. Number nine, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And number 10, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. So, you know, like Jeff says, or I'm sorry, like Jeffy Grub Grub says, no giant breakouts, but people still buying them games, bless.
Yeah, man. Like, and it seems like the effects of everybody being at home and being stuck in place, like, it seems like those are still taking effect, right? Like, this being the highest highest dollar amount year since what, 2010? Like, that's since May 2010. Like, that's crazy. Like, that's it's still insane to see. And Animal Crossing New Horizons still being number three is also pretty wild.
Hey, man. People love the fruits. Oh, shit. I told my sister-in-law I'd bring her peaches, and I haven't done it yet. Number five, Gods and Monsters. This is an interesting one. I don't know if you saw this. A Gods and Monsters demo leaked on Stadia. This is Tom Phillips over at Eurogamer to close out the Roper Report. An early build of Gods and Monsters was available to play on Google Stadia last night following a serious slip-up by the streaming platform. The unfinished demo version of Ubisoft's fantasy RPG was briefly available on Stadia's store, listed under the codename Orpheus. So, of course, people got to playing it. As expected, it looks like a cross between Breath of the Wild and Assassin's Creed Odyssey. In the demo, climbing uses a circular stamina bar, a direct copy from Zelda. Combat with big beasties, parentheses definitely not found in the real ancient Greece, also looks similar to that of Breath of the Wild. Here, the protagonist attacks are using sword strikes and quaff potions to refill a health bar. Ubisoft has now confirmed the leak as coming from a year-old demo of the game, and that it will show its next official look at Gods and Monsters later in the summer. The game is also getting a new name then, too. Quote, our vision for the game, formerly known as Gods and Monsters, has evolved in surprising ways, which is common when developing exciting new worlds, Ubisoft Quebec exec Marc-Alexis Cote said in a statement issued to Eurogamer. This footage is from the E3 2019 demo, which was shown to select press last June and is now over a year old. Much has changed since then in terms of features, tone, art, and character design, and even the name of the game. We are hard at work and very excited to finally show players what we have created at the end of the summer. Stadia, in a statement initially to Kotaku, also shared with Eurogamer, apologized for the leak and said the demo had only briefly been available. Regretfully, this is a quote, on Thursday morning, we mistakenly made an E3 2019 demo version of Gods and Monsters from Ubisoft available on the Stadia store. That was not intended for the public to play, a Stadia spokesperson said. A few hundred gamers were able to play it for less than 30 minutes. We sincerely apologize to our partners at Ubisoft for this mistake, end quote.
What
Good
a
lord, you know,
weird they thing can't to catch happen.
A break over there for Stadia.
I really want to know what the story of Gods and Monsters is in like the development, because this game was supposed to come out in February and it got pushed indefinitely. And the fact that it has a different name now that they're working with, and the fact that apparently the game is taking on like some sort of new form. How does that happen so late in development? Like, I really want to know. That seems crazy to me. But then yeah, like also for Stadia, like that's not a good look. Like that is very unfortunate for a service that's like that's been struggling.
I wonder how it happened, because right there was conversations that Ubisoft had actually been working with Stadia of like it was actually easier for people to work from home. They were investigating with Stadia, you know, using the cloud to actually move demos around and stuff like that. I wonder what switch got flipped, how that got unprivatized, but at least it's not that big of a deal. It's a smaller game. It's actually cool, I think, that like, hey, everybody's owning up to it. This happened. It was 30 minutes. Sorry. The game's, you know, we'll hear about it more when Ubisoft talks this summer, but whatever.
Yeah.
Worth pointing out right now, Blessing, we have breaking news.
going back to Star Wars Squadrons, EA Star Wars has tweeted, "Pilots wanted, tune in for the reveal trailer of Star Wars Squadrons this Monday, June 15th at 8 a.m. Pacific time." There's a YouTube link that is a countdown to the premiere itself. So maybe Xbox didn't fuck up that badly. Maybe it was just a couple hours wrong. They didn't do it. Blessing.
Exciting stuff.
Greg. I'm excited to see what this Star Wars Squadrons is all about. But same. Monday is so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grab shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Warborn is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Project Warlock is on Xbox One. Goosebumps, Dead of Night is on Xbox One and PC. Zarkaria Pinball is on PS4. Super Soccer Blast is on PS4. House Flipper is on Switch. Pew Pew is on Switch. Half Dead is on Switch. Dots 8 is on Switch. Rogue Robots is on Switch. Supercar Toys 2 is on Switch. Inops is on PC. New City is on PC. War and the Warlock is on PC. Little Orpheus is on Apple Arcade. Act is on PC. And then Predator Hunting Grounds June update is live. All the Dutch weapons are now available for everybody for free. There's also new tints, skins, and shaders. Very interesting to me, ladies and gentlemen. The level cap is increasing to 150, adding chase items for leveling milestones. Blessing. Get your ass ready. Me and Nick are going to be begging you to play all weekend long. And then also a new date for Predator. The Samurai Predator is going to be available June 30th as a new character.
All right, that sounds awesome.
That sounds fucking rad. I can't wait to see that.
Really cool.
New dates for you. Yes, Your Grace comes to Switch and the Xbox One on June 26th. Blessing.
Greg.
It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Frankfurter needs help on PlayStation. His PSN name is Frankfurter. FRANKFURTTER. Frankfurter says, "Good morning, KFBFs, and happy Friday. Tomorrow, Saturday, I'll be playing The Last of Us multiplayer to try and round up a bunch of missing trophies. I'm hoping to team up with a full squad of Kind of Funny best friends and interchange people as they go about their day. I plan on devoting the better portion of the day, to this, so hit me up whenever. Hope to see y'all there, Frankfurter." If you're down to help Frankfurter get them Last of Us multiplayer platinum trophies on the way to the platinum, hit them up, Frankfurter. Blessing, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. The traitor himself, Frankfurter, says, "Someone note, Blessing gets a pizza."
Good point. That's a very good point. Roundtable pizza. I'll have my people talk to your people.
Matt says that KFC Gaming announced the console today. KFC Gaming announced a console today, and there's this weird little hype trailer for it. That's cute. D-Block says, this isn't, you're wrong, just missed stuff, I guess. Information about Madden 21 has been announced that it's coming on June 16th. So not EA Play. That's interesting. I think it's all about Star Wars here. John BX32 says, "Missed new date. Sea of Thieves free content update for June is called Haunted Shores. It's out June 17th. And there you go. Ladies and gentlemen,
sick.
That's Kind of Funny Games Daily. The show, of course, doesn't stop here. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Get the post show we're about to do. Remember, after that post show, we are hosting the core gaming stream here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. It will be the reveal of who won the Kind of Funny core game jams. During the show, I retweeted them, and they are driving to twitch.tv/CoreLive. So I might have gotten confused, and it might be that we're just hosting them on our channel rather than it being native on our channel. So Core Live is where you'd want to go, apparently. And maybe I'm wrong, maybe they're wrong. We'll figure it out when we get out of this show and start doing it. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, Last of Us Part 2 review is up. It's spoiler-free. Go check it out. Remember, there's a bunch of other stuff happening. I've talked about it all. Oh, tomorrow's the Guerrilla Collective. Don't forget, three days of gaming announcements, nearly 90 video games. It's the Kind of Funny Game Showcase on steroids. Tomorrow, 9 a.m. Pacific time. You don't want to miss it on Twitch. We'll be hosting that as well. Please come check it out. We worked really hard on it. The mix worked even harder. And the one who worked the hardest, of course, was Kind of Funny best friend Roger Pokorny, who edited the entire thing. Hey. Made it look so fucking sick. Hosts for next week go like this: Monday, Blessing and Tim; Tuesday, Blessing and Imran; Wednesday, Greg and Gary; Thursday, Greg and Blessing; Friday, Blessing and Greg. We're back, baby.
Back. back at it like a bad habit.
Oh, and also remember, I need your Last of Us questions that we can answer for PS I Love You XOXO. So I need those this weekend too. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames so we can talk about it now that the review embargo is over. Not spoilers, obviously, because that'll be a whole separate thing. I digress. We have a post show to do. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.